Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God. And we're going to be talking about homeschooling and public school education and what's wrong with the world today. And we're going to tear down some of the icons of modern society, some of the things that modern society thinks that they need or that is good or that is acceptable in the eyes of Christ, in the eyes of God Himself. And we're going to tear those down, tear them apart, and shatter them if we can. And we've been doing that right along in an article on a series of articles that have been appearing on News of Views about schools as tools to fool the people, to change the way in which people think. And America instituted a public school system that actually was somewhat designed in places like Prussia and Austria. And they have morphed the educational system of the world, the whole world, into a system that is fundamentally flawed. Flawed to the point of it has become a destructive influence within society. And not where most people will tell you. Not because teachers are bad, although there are bad teachers and there are good teachers, not because they teach you lies, and of course they do. They teach you truths. In order to really get people to believe lies, you have to mix it in with a lot of truth. But there are lies out there being taught to children. There were in Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany instituted public schools. They really loved public schools. It was already around, but they pushed their information in public schools, and the Nazis won World War II in Germany because Hitler outlawed homeschooling, and it's still outlawed today in Germany. The spirit that brought about the outlawing of home education, of parents actually educating their children, the spirit that did that in Germany during the rise of the Nazis is still alive. You don't destroy that spirit with war. As a matter of fact, you can magnify it, because war is a resisting of evil. Now, I'm not saying that you can't go to war. I'm not saying you can't use guns or swords to defend yourself or defend the weak or defend those that are being abused. You certainly can and probably should at times. But the idea that you're going to get rid of evil by shooting it with a gun is not the case. Evil is a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual ideology that manifests itself in the thinking of men and women from time began. So anyway, what if everything you believe is wrong and you could still be loved and still be forgiven? What if? Well, that, of course, is true. Everything you believe now, or at least the fundamentals, can be completely upside down. This is what Christians were accused of doing, is turning the world upside down. They were actually turning the world right side up, but to those who had been living upside down, they thought Christians were turning the world upside down because they had become used to thinking the way they were thinking. They began to believe what they believed was true, and it wasn't. And Christ came along and said, what you believe Moses was saying is false. What you have come to accept as true about Moses, about Abraham, about the prophets, is false. It is the reverse. And that's exactly what's happened today in modern Christendom, in Judaism today, even in the Muslim religion, in the Buddhist religion, in the Hindu religion. But individual people all over the world are beginning to wake up and realize that what they believed is wrong. And I want you to know that you can still be loved and forgiven, but you must repent. You must begin to think that other way. Christ died so that you might be saved. And many people, the martyrs, they all died that you might be saved, that you would begin to understand something I'm going to talk about in future shows, spiritual economics. They laid down their life for Christ so that you would have life more abundant. And so we're going to look at this homeschooling education. Somebody wrote an article, Matt Walsh, I think his name was, and we're going to use that kind of as a foundation to take off from. He says, not all public school teachers are the devil. He's actually quoting somebody else who wrote him. Somebody by the name of Dan wrote him a letter, and he made a couple of points in it. He had been a public school teacher for years, and he wrote Matt, who posts a lot of information about public education, etc., and about homeschooling. And he says, number one, the flaws in our public school system have to do with parents. And he puts parents all in cap letters. Has to do with parents. So if there's flaws in the public school system, it has to do with parents. The first thing that flashes in my mind is something we've talked about before. 14-year-old students and younger were given a story to read, a book to read, that was so pornographic in its vocabulary and in the pictures that it painted within the book, you could not read the passages on radio. And we know a lot can be read on radio. They couldn't read the passages on radio because they were too pornographic. But they are okay to give to a 14-year-old student for required reading. A father, concerned father, discovers this assignment. He goes to the school board meeting and wants to talk about it. Talks about it for 2 minutes and goes over his allotted 2-minute time. And then this man is a lawyer. I saw the videos. He was upset, clearly upset, but he was in control. Yeah, he went over his 2 minutes, but he wanted an answer and he wasn't getting any kind of an answer. They were just kind of ignoring him. They weren't responsive to him, either before or during or even after the meeting. But you know what they did when he went over his 2-minute allowance? They had a policeman, which was prepared ahead of time by them in case a parent spoke up for more than 2 minutes at the meeting. They would have them arrested and put in jail. Now, the interesting thing, this required reading was to help to educate students about bullying. And here they were, having the parent who has the courage to speak up. Many of those parents there were afraid to speak up, and many parents were not even there. But he went over his 2-minute allotment, and instead of just simply, and he had sat down and he had agreed to sit down, but they still progressed with the idea of putting him behind bars, handcuffing him before his children and his friends, and putting him in jail for the heinous crime of going over the 2-minute allotted period. Now, he had sat down. He had stopped speaking, but they still continued. Oh, we must bully this parent. So tell me the flaws in the public school system have to do with parents. It has to do with a spirit living in the halls of your public schools and in the halls of your homes, because so many people were not outraged at that. They should have stormed that school and spoken for 2.5, 3 minutes, 4 minutes even, about the outrage of a parent being bullied by the school board because they were upset about their 14-year-old daughter being required to read pornography. And that's where we caught them. I could go through story after story of what goes on in schools. Now, is it all a den of iniquity? Of course, there's good things that go on in schools. Just like there are truths mixed with lies in order to get people to believe lies. Cover the lie, they mix a lot of truth in with it. So when parents send their kids to school, he complains, and think their job is done. Instead of being involved in the child's education, well, that man tried to get involved in the education and the school board had him arrested. How can the system ever improve if the involved parents pull out or they're arrested and do their own thing? Well, of course, it can't improve, but the fact is it's fundamentally flawed. And we're going to tell you where that fundamental flaw is. But he goes on to say, we have a responsibility not just to our family, but to our community. Absolutely true. Again, always, if you're going to tell a lie and get people to believe it, you have to mix some truth in there. Homeschool parents hurt their communities when they isolate themselves and remove their children from our academic institutions. No, that's a lie. That is a lie. What he described there as hurting the community is a lie, and we'll show you. He says, if we don't help the system will not work. What's the system? The system of public school or the system of man and woman coming together, producing children, raising them up, and seeing to their education by their own authority, their natural right to educate their children, which is considered universal, even by the United Nations. So what's the system? The place where he gets his retirement money? The system, you know, we'll take a look at that system and see if that isn't where the fundamental problem is. Let's identify what system he's talking about. Because the system of man and woman being natural terms, the terms of nature and the law of nature and nature's God, puts the child in the hands of their parents, who are father and mother to them. That's the system. In that, men have created another system they call public school, and they accept the idea of public school as natural. It's not natural. It's created. Is it a good idea? Now, don't answer that too quickly. But anyway, he goes on with his point two. You mock the idea of socialization, but the fact is that kids need to learn how to socialize. True. Kids do need to learn how to socialize. There's your truth. That skill is not ingrained in them. Well, it depends on your definition of ingrained. It's not automatically present in them, although there are automatic tendencies. I have some children that are very outgoing. I have some children that are more shy. They can all talk to people and interact. But by their nature, from the beginning, they were shyer and others were not. We try to balance those skills, the ones that are too dependent upon socialization all the time. We want them to spend a little time alone so that they don't need people all the time to find an activity in their life or a meaning or a purpose in their life. But the same token, the ones that are very shy, we want them to get out and mingle, so that they have a balance. We realize they are different. We're not fitting them into certain size peg holes, you know, trying to shove that round peg through the square hole or the square peg through the round hole. We realize they have a place. Diversity is one of the most important parts of society. For social interaction, you need diversity. Truth. There you go. That's a truth. For social interaction, you need diversity. Now we're going to show you how important that is, too, before we're done. So he goes on to say, how can they learn proper social skills if they aren't around other children? Well, that sounds like a legitimate question. How can they learn proper social skills if they aren't around other children? Well, there's some qualifying terms in there. Proper social skills. Well, has anybody seen the movie Blast from the Past? He wasn't around other children, and he was this absolutely perfect guy. Very awkward, very strange, you know, alien abduction written all over him. But in reality, what he needed, he had. He had a moral compass. And that was what he needed in order to develop the proper social skills. you don't always get that moral compass from professional teachers. As a matter of fact, even the mention of some of the basic moral codes that have followed society for thousands of years and formed society for thousands of years is ostracized in public schools today and will continue to be, because public schools are really not about education. It's about control. But that's a truth you may not be willing to accept yet, so we'll just leave that there until we prove it. He goes on to say you might as well try to teach your kids how to swim without ever putting him in a pool. It's most important for kids to learn the academic fundamentals, but learning proper socialization is very important as well. Public school gives young people the chance to become well-adjusted adults. Now, there is a conclusion drawn in his statement that somehow or other, homeschooling does not give young people the chance to become well-adjusted adults. My own experience with, I never went to public school myself. I always went to private schools, but I know lots of people who went to public schools. I know children who were home-taught and then went to public schools. I know children that went to public schools and then were home-taught. I know a variety of these different people, and I've watched it over a long decade upon decade upon decade of my own personal study. And the social skills that kids often learn in public schools is how not to get pregnant during promiscuous sex. Or occasionally they don't learn that, and they simply learn how to manage a baby in high school or where you go to get an abortion. These are parts of their social skills. Homeschoolers don't usually have that problem. They don't learn how to do that, but they do learn social skills, and we'll see more of that. Anyway, Matt writes back to Dan, and he points out a number of different things, that he had a music teacher in elementary school who once disciplined a kid by having him sit in front of the class while she went around the room and asked all his classmates to insult him. True story. We have on video, we've seen it just recently, where a teacher told students to beat up another student in the hallway. It got on film. Now, like I said, I went to private school. I was raised, as the Blues Brothers would say, by penguins, and they were sometimes brutal. They were literally terrorists amongst these young children at times. You feared them, and they were allowed to strike you with a stick, and same with some of the priests and swats that they would give, and physical discipline, and not always justly administered. Now, I would never say that I'm against physical discipline of a parent disciplining its child. Not brutalizing, but physically disciplining. A parent should never give up that right. But by the same token, if you have to exercise that right, you should do some serious soul-searching, because you've probably failed that child earlier on, that you've had to result to that physical enforcement. But still, that may be necessary. Better now than, you know, jerk that child out of the traffic if that's what's needed to keep him from getting run over. That's just what you have to do, but not brutalize the child. You cannot teach morality by force any more than you could legislate morality. It just doesn't work. But by the same token, sometimes children need physical discipline. But anyway, he goes on to talk to the guy. He says, 10 to 15% of my public school instructors were so obnoxiously terrible at their job he could hardly stand it. But on the other side, he says a good 10 or 15% were wonderful, dedicated, tuned in, engaged, and brilliant. So that takes care of 20 to 30% of the teachers, and the others fall somewhere lukewarmly between those two extremes. But still, we haven't touched on the fundamental flaw of public schools, because it's not the teachers. One of the most dedicated teachers, most award-winning teachers of our time is Gatto. And he is absolutely against public education. Teacher of the Year time and time again in one of the most difficult areas of education in America, New York City. And he is fundamentally against public education as a fundamentally flawed system. Not a system that could be fixed, a system that needs to be done away with. And you think, well, that would be horrible. And it would be right now. And you can't do away with it overnight. Although someday it may be done away with overnight, along with a lot of other things in a twinkling of an eye. But what should we be doing now to prepare to replace it if it is truly fundamentally flawed? And so we need some evidence to know, some of you do, need some evidence to know whether it's fundamentally flawed or not. But anyway, Walsh goes on to say laying the blame on parents is totally ridiculous. It just doesn't make any sense. He also points out the fact that Dan refers to studies that validate his argument. Yet he really presented no studies that validate his argument. He goes on and says, Walsh goes on and says, I'm not sure which studies you've researched, but I guess it isn't the one confirming that homeschoolers outperform public school kids on standardized tests, or the one showing that homeschooled kids are more prepared for college, or the one showing homeschoolers achieving a higher fourth-year GPA. It's an interesting thing when we look at these studies, and I did go and take some time to look at some of these studies, exactly what they are coming out. And in our article on homeschooling that has been published, and we didn't even look at these studies. There are older studies, more than a decade ago, showing that public school children do not come close to scoring as high as homeschoolers. Now, there are several different things going on in homeschooling. There's certain people that have a movement called unschooling their children. And this is taken to different degrees, so you can't lump all these unschoolers into one place. We didn't have a standard curriculum. We went around and got school books. We went around and looked for curriculum. We couldn't afford some of the curriculum that my grandchildren are now using that they got. And some of the curriculums now that are becoming available to homeschoolers are excellent and are available very cheaply. And if you get together with homeschooling groups, you can often get almost all this material with little or no cost. People will share. They love sharing their homeschooling curriculum with other parents. So the cost and expense and the availability of curriculums are out there. But some parents have taken it to the extreme, thinking, no, we don't have to have any kind of formal education, no study plan, we don't. And they are actually neglecting their children because those children are not scoring as well or as high, sometimes even as high as public school students on average. And unfortunately, often to obtain statistics, they mix the unschoolers with the homeschoolers, and it brings everybody's grade average down. But even with that, they're still scoring as much as 30 or 35% or higher even than public school students on public school provided tests. So the public school is very easy to teach to a test so that your students will get higher grades because you're teaching to the test. They're not learning the subject any better, but they're learning how to take the test. Homeschoolers are not taught to take the test necessarily, but they're still scoring higher because they have a better grasp of the subject. But anyway, he says, you say we should keep our kids in public school in order to help the system. Now, Walsh has a real complaint against this. Would you really put the welfare of the system over that of your own children? Now remember, homeschoolers are still paying the taxes that fund not only public schools, but the retirement program for that school teacher. He's still getting paid by the homeschoolers. So they're still supporting the system financially. They've actually also supported the system because they have removed one need for an additional chair in the schoolroom. Their children aren't a part of the lunch programs and all these other things. Their children are at home being taken care of entirely by parents who are also paying for their neighbor's public school education. The same as private school kids are doing the same thing because they don't get an exemption from having to pay for everybody else's education. And now we're getting close to the fundamental flaw of public education. But we won't go there yet. He goes on to say, he says, my children, for some bureaucratic machine, he didn't want them to be martyrs. He doesn't want them to be put into the system so that the system can practice on his children. One thing he does say that I disagree with Walsh, and it may be just a question of not realizing the context of what he's saying. He says, I don't frankly care how our decision affects the community. And the reality is, I think he does. Because you have to remember, the public school system is not the community. The public school system is the public school system. The community is everybody who lives around you. And some of them are sending their kids to private schools. They don't send them to public schools. And some of them are sending their kids to private schools for the reason of getting them out of the house. They don't really care whether they get an education or not. They just want to get rid of them. They don't want to be babysitting them. They want to go do their own thing. And they got this built-in public babysitting thing called public school. So what he really means to say is he doesn't care about the system of public education. I believe he does care about community. And we should. But this is how you have to be careful how you mix your truths with lies. He goes on, number two, you say that homeschooler kids aren't properly socialized. He says, I give you this, with the exception of about 14,000 other times, this is the first time I've ever heard this point. In other words, we hear this all the time, that somehow other homeschool children are not properly socialized. Well, we're going to discuss that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're discussing homeschooling. Walsh goes on to say, why do I even need to debunk socialization claim or the lack of socialization? And he says, I am absolutely declaring that socialization is the worst part of public school. And we've already touched on that earlier. that what goes on in public schools is shocking. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. I can't even discuss some of the things I know went on in the school room concerning personal socializing of children in public schools. I mean, much of it ends up being criminal, but you never catch it because there's a general ability of children to get away with stuff. I always remember how in a dormitory situation, a school had dormitories because they needed more students to get more funding, so they were actually getting kids from other places to come and stay in a dormitory so they could increase the amount of funding for the public school, because so much of that is federal now, and even states will count heads to get extra money within, you know, from the state, because it used to be that public schools were funded by the local community. And originally, public schools back at the turn of the first century, or the 1910, etc., most public schools were heavily funded by private donations. But now, it's public contributions, which are the result of taxation. But it used to be that a local school was funded by local funds that came through from taxation. But now, they all go up to a common fund, and they trickle down back to the local schools, and this trickling takes place by a head count. So they didn't like it that I taught six of my children at home and they were not enrolled in school. They offered me the opportunity of putting my kids in their school. They didn't have to go to classes. They didn't have to do any testing. They could go to all the parties, you know, socialization and games. And there might even be some money in it for me, according to what they said, which sounds like bribery. But I didn't send them anyway. But anyway, this idea of socialization is just ridiculous. Let's take a look at some of the studies. A Canadian study recently shared, I think it was in the early, well, let's finish the Canadian study. Several years, researchers were looking at homeschooling students and taking standardized tests, mixing homeschoolers that were actually had a curriculum prescribed by their parents, that their parents obtained one place or another, and those who believed in unschooling. They mixed them, and their scores were still way higher, based on this Concordia University study that confirms what American researchers have already known for years, is that homeschoolers do better. This is well known throughout history. Homeschoolers do better. In the early, mid-1990s, Arizona legislators had discovered that homeschoolers typically scored in the 70 to 85 percentile on the then-required Iowa test, while the state school pupils averaged 40 to 50 percentile, which is, you know, like half of what the homeschoolers were getting on those same standardized tests. This discrepancy held true for years in Arizona until finally in 1995, the legislators said that the mandatory testing was dropped. Now, you could say that they just decided they didn't need it anymore, or it was just making them look so bad that they couldn't do anything about it, so they figured out of sight, out of mind. But now again, those same testing, the unschoolers did not do as well. So if you're looking at unschooling type approach to homeschooling, I would recommend you do not do that. You don't have to have as strict a regimen as some other schools, but or other homeschoolers, but you need to have something. Children need to be taught. You need to take the time and energy to teach your children, to show them and to make sure that they're learning. And in a proper homeschool environment, the children can easily finish their studies before lunch and stay way ahead of public schoolers. Now, I had some kids that would take, you know, till 1 or 2 o'clock before they got their studies done. And that was because they procrastinated and put it off, but they couldn't go out till they got that done. And that's a good rule of thumb. But then when they would see the neighbor kids who were also home-taught coming out, you know, about a mile away, they would get their studies done real quick so they could go out and join them. But even the worst students at home here are all successful, high up in their profession and doing extremely well, never attended school a day in their life, never even finished GED, I don't believe. Another one has their own business and about to buy another business and double the size of their employee count, which I actually am, I'm not sure how many employees they have now. Never been to school a day in their life, still young, running their own business. So the success of homeschooling is well documented. There are other articles, other studies that they're talking about. The Progress Report of 2009, they surveyed over 11,000 homeschooled students and showed homeschoolers from K through 12 scoring an average of 37 percentile points above the national average on standardized achievement tests. Homeschool movement has grown by 7% per year for each of the past 10 years. It's a growing movement. Why? Because parents love their children. They want what's best for their children. Unfortunately, we have idiots like Mr. Dan saying that something's wrong with homeschooling and they're not, you know, that they're not learning socialization skills, and that if the kids don't learn in school, it's the parents' fault and not the school's fault. The reality is, it is the parents' fault because they sent their kids to public school, and they shouldn't have ever done that. And I've known some very capable parents who missed that opportunity because they thought they couldn't do it. We've been ingrained into thinking that we can't educate our children at home, and nothing could be farther from the truth. And I want to encourage everybody to do that and to form congregations of record where you get together, call it clubs, whatever you want to call it, and help one another homeschool your children. Even if you don't have any children, you can participate in homeschooling networks through your congregations, your free assemblies, your clubs, whatever you want to call them. But that's how communities grow and get stronger, by communities working together. That's how families get stronger. The family works on the homeschooling problem, and they solve that problem together. And that, I just touched on one of the key elements that shows that public school education is fundamentally flawed. The studies go on to show that homeschoolers scored higher on ACT tests. Homeschoolers earned more college credits prior to their freshman year. I mean, almost double, more than double, the number of college credits that public schoolers achieved. I went to private school, but I was able to graduate early because of some of the schools that I attended early on in my education. And so I was attending one particular private school that was going to send me on to college in what would have been my senior year. But then I changed schools and ran into a stubborn priest who wasn't going to have anybody going off his campus. And they made me sit in taking ridiculous courses, and I could have been taking courses at UCLA or San Fernando Valley State. And it soured me. And so I never went on to college except for University of Minnesota for forestry for a while. And I did well there, got a scholarship, and got through that. But I wasn't home taught. Homeschooling was a surprise to me that people were even doing this. But anyway, the homeschooling students earn a higher fall semester GPA scores than kids that are not. Homeschooler students earn higher first-year GPAs. Homeschooled students earned higher fourth-year GPAs. Homeschool students achieved higher graduation rates than those compared to the overall population. And years later, homeschoolers are not found taking hardly, almost none in most of the studies, government benefits, as opposed to places where people are depending on, you know, 11% are dependent upon government benefits. The reality is, public school itself is a public benefit. It is welfare. If you're sending your children to public school, you are collecting welfare. You are sending your children to public school at your neighbor's expense because you're not paying enough taxes to pay for his education, which could be from $6,000 to $25,000 a year, depending on what area of the country you live in. And if you have more than one child, you just multiply that out. You're not paying for your child's education. You're forcing those homeschooler parents, those private school parents, people who have no children whatsoever, you're forcing them to pay for your child's education by the power of the government. That is covetousness. That is taking from your neighbor by force, legally, but by force, to establish your utopia of public education. Your happiness is dependent upon men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other to obtain enough funds to keep your child in free education, which is not free. And that is the fundamental flaw. You're taking the child out of the home. You know, you say child can't learn to swim unless he goes into the water. So who of you would take your children down to the pool or the lake and just drop them off and come back 6 hours later? Every day. In some cases, 6, 7, 8 hours later. It's astounding that we have come to accept that idea. And here you have the evidence that your child will get a poorer education if you send them to public school than if you teach them at home. Socialization skills. 2 million U.S. students in grade 8 through 12 were homeschooled in 2010. 4% of all school-aged children. And when they investigate these children, they're more socially adjusted. They're better prepared for college. They do not exclude themselves into single-age clique groups or clubs. They are able to converse both with adults and small children. Why? Because they are raised in a natural system called the family. That's where everybody should be raised. And the community should be involved with homeschooling in a voluntary way. At least if you want a free society. If you don't want a free society, go the way of Germany. Go the way that Sweden has been going. Outlaw homeschooling and put your children in public schools, and you will be guaranteed tyranny. You will be guaranteed tyranny. Because that is what you have chosen. You chose to be a tyrant over your neighbor and force your neighbor to pay for your child's free education. Just look at some of the other studies where children from the ages of 15 to 34 after the homeschooling experience were gone through on an independent investigation and study. They were more socially engaged. 69% participated in organized activities at least once per week compared to the 48% of the comparable population. Homeschoolers also were happier. 67.3% described themselves as very happy compared to the 43.8% of the comparable population that says evidently that they were happy. So, I mean, look at the ranges there. These statistics just go on and on and on, that 11% more well-adjusted, 20% more well-adjusted in other areas. These are all new studies. We showed in our article older studies, decades old, that came up with the same answers. Why is this? Single-age education versus multi-age interaction, which is what you find in a family. And families have friends, and they have children, and they all interact. We have cousins. They interact. They get to know one another. They talk with adults. They talk with younger children. They are not isolated in the most unnatural environment, an entire classroom with 13-year-olds in it. What in the world are you thinking? The love and sacrifice of parents for their children that is required to home educate them is what is making the difference in these children. And the long-range difference will be that you will have stronger families, stronger family units. And society is composed of families. That is what it is constructed from. That is where society is born, within the family. The idea of removing a small child from their parents and putting them in private or even public school, or public and even private school, is insane. It is unnatural. If people want their society to be better educated, gather together in small groups and work together. There are crummy parents out there, just like there are crummy teachers out there. And when you mix in society, you will find people in society who voluntarily help those children, teach those children, expand the horizons of those children. People love to share what they know, what they've spent a lifetime learning. This is where the elderly should be, not on golf courses wasting their time. They should be helping the next generation, because that's how you really contribute to the community. That's how you contribute to society. And that's what homeschooling is really all about. These children are being raised in homes. They're not being raised in the basement. They're not locked up. They're out there sharing what they learn with each other within the family, within the extended family, within the neighborhood. And that's what will make this country strong. That's what made it strong for the first century. And we've gotten away from that. And now what do you have? Do you have children that love one another? Do you have communities where the young people are growing up with respect for the elderly, care about one another? No. You have some of that still left, but the percentage, the ratio of that is dropping rapidly, and it will not be gotten back easily. We need to go back to the natural way of educating our children, educating them in the home. So this idea of a need to debunk socialization claims over and over again. So in the final analysis, it's just unbelievable to me that with the statistics showing up everywhere, that homeschooling is a far superior way of teaching your children, that parents are still opting for public school education. When public school education is forced to compete with homeschooling, you'll see a resistance from those, certainly those who make their living off of the public school system, but also from parents who don't really want to think that the idea of public schools is really a bad thing. We see this in sports, where frustrated parents who didn't make it in sports want to see their children make it in sports. Parents want to push their children in sports as if they're living their life through their children. Well, if you want to have such systems, support them yourselves. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. If you want to have a school system, pay for it yourself. Pay for it with those people who want that system. The idea that it is okay to gather together as if you all have one purse and force those who don't want to send their children to public education, not only to go to education, but even worse, to support those people who want public education. Pay their way in a system you think is fundamentally flawed. That adds to the fundamental flaw of group education. That adds to the flaw of public education as this institution. Socialization, as we've seen, does this in the public context. It really just means that a child is simply absorbed behaviorally into the cues of their peers or the cues of their teacher. Children come out of public education with three personalities, that which they have molded based on the presence of their parents, that which they have molded based on the presence of their peers, and that which they have molded or been molded for them by the pressures and presence of the public school administration, including the teachers themselves. Which takes us back to the story where a child is put in front of the class and ridiculed. I've seen, if you think back, you will see that teachers will ridicule a child in front of their peers in order to gain power over that child, in order to get a sense of self-righteousness. This is very common amongst teachers, amongst real adults. So some of these people are not very effectual, but amongst a bunch of small children, they can seem very intelligent, very bright, and very smart, and they can put down anyone who is coming up in their ranks that are outside the subservience that they require for their students. Now, that whole structure is trying to teach children to follow directives of a superior authority. They are not trying to mold young adults, young leaders for tomorrow. By the very nature of the system, you must maintain order because you've created an unnatural event. Like I say, 40 13-year-olds in the same room. That's not natural. The family is natural. That is the environment in which you should be raising your children. And we're not doing it. And we're seeing the results of not doing it. And now we have the militant socialist pressing anybody who wants to teach their children at home and outlawing it, arresting parents, putting them in jail for giving their children a better education. It's astounding that we have allowed this to go on. So the socialization is what they are most concerned about, because what they're talking about is socializing the students, your children, into accepting the idea of socialism. And then that idea leads to tyranny, as we've seen in China and the Soviet Union, etc. Now, we see a lot of countries out there, Denmark, Sweden, all being socialist countries. And you say, well, they're not going to become tyrants. They're small countries. They're not in a place to become the tyrannical invading force. But still, within those countries, you will see their own governments becoming tyrants with their people. That spirit of tyranny. And it comes from the fact that you think it's okay to force your neighbor to pay for what you want. This is why in the Ten Commandments it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Anything that is thy neighbor's. You can't covet his wife. You can't covet his children. You can't covet his sweat, his toil, his savings, his land. You can't covet these things, or you will be put on a course in nature that will bring destruction. The Ten Commandments is advice on how to govern yourselves or pay the penalty of refusing to do that. If your society accepts covetousness, which is what socialism is, as a way, it is going the opposite way of God, the opposite way of Jesus Christ, the opposite way of Abraham, the opposite way of Moses, the opposite way of Buddha, the opposite way of Brahmana. And society has accepted this. You see all these different religions accepting the idea that it's okay to take away from my neighbor as long as I do it through government. And it is not. And it leads to destruction of society, destruction of the family, destruction of the individual. And that spirit is growing at a rapid rate in the world today. It is pervasive. And those of you who want to repent of that spirit, who really want to love their neighbor as themselves, need to start gathering together. And that's why we started the Living Network. So I encourage everybody to join the Living Network and form congregations of record. Form a network. What is a congregation of record? It's people connecting in a uniform way. But you have to organize yourselves because it's grassroots. You have to figure out where you fit in the network, in your congregations, in your community, and become a living part of that community and that broader community. And you have to be motivated out of love of each other and love of righteousness. And until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.